Thank you, Robert. Good morning to all of you. It's such a pleasure to see old colleagues and friends, especially some of them that I have never met in years. So I'm very happy to see you. First, I'm extremely humble and very grateful to Ola, to Robert, and Lee Wong for organizing this symposium, as well as to Susan, who is the ASA chair, and Scott, which is the FFFSA chair, for co-organizing the symposium. I'm also grateful to all of you colleagues and friends for participating in the symposium. Like you say, I'm pleased to see some old friend that I haven't seen in years. It's such a great honor, and I'm truly overwhelmed. And this experience is going to stay with me for the rest of my life. I thank you very much for that. I'm glad that you are here instead of celebrating our new president-elect. Now, before coming to this great country, I worked for a few years in the Himalayas, very beautiful country, Himalayas, beautiful mountains. There I started a new demonstration farm to introduce the farmers to new crops, new varieties, new fertilizers, water management, and even some horticulture. Now, this was a most rewarding and exciting experience for me, even as it was in the middle of nowhere. No electricity, no heat, no running water. That was because I greatly enjoy working with the farmers, and I learned a lot from them. Gave me a solid background of agriculture. I also greatly enjoy the beauty of nature. And these two ingredients kind of help people in getting to learn from them, as well as enjoying the beauty of nature, which is part of agriculture. These two ingredients have stayed with me and continue to motivate me as I pursued further agricultural research. Now, when I got an opportunity for graduate studies at Davis, I wanted to specialize in an area that would be exciting for me, of course, but also have the potential for doing some good things for people and nature. Don Nielsen, I have to give a lot of credit to him for framing my career, my interests. His solid physics teaching and research truly inspired me the most and motivated me towards area of solid physics and hydrology at that time. I was not exposed to this before I came to Davis. And I spent about 2 years taking all kinds of math courses, differential equation, higher level. I didn't take any solid courses, so all math and things that Don wanted me to take in order to understand solid physics. So in my early to mid-career, I worked in a number of areas of solid physics and hydrology. For example, radial flow of solid water to a cylindrical sand. Infiltration into crustal sheet soil, but also normal soil. Simplified methods of determining soil hydraulic properties. Spatial variability and scaling. Transfer of chemicals to surface runoff. This was an important area when I took the job with ARS. They were interested in water quality, both the runoff water quality and the groundwater quality. So one area which needed further work was the transfer of chemicals from soil surface to runoff. And, of course, interflow of water and chemicals, subsurface lateral flow of water and chemicals in sloping soils, pretty important too. Management effects on soil properties and processes. And, of course, preferential flow through macropores and a number of other areas. Most of this work done in collaboration with my colleagues, Andrew Sharpley, Dennis Thimman, Robert Williams, Rob Malone, Mark Kingley, and I probably missed a few, some of them. I think I put down some names here. Gary Heisman, I forgot to put that here. I even worked with Olaf for spatial variability, I remember that, one paper. Jakob Pachestri, I don't know whether he's Jakob's here, but yes, he's there. We worked together on that. Now, in the 1990s, ARS thought that we need a better water quality model, and the water quality was a stream, was President Bush, and it was special emphasis on water quality, and so we need a better model for this weather zone, and both runoff and what goes into the groundwater. So I joined an ARS team to develop the so-called roots on water quality model that several of the speakers have talked about. And this was an opportunity for me to extend soil physics knowledge to modeling of a whole agriculture system. With soil, water, plant, weather management components. And of course, apply our research, this is an opportunity as well, to apply our research more explicitly to practical problems of water quality and water quantity. Because you need the whole system to address practical problems. Later, of course, we use the model for, more recently, we use the model for water quantity and water use, and of course, climate change effects on not only the water use and water use efficiency and production as well. And for this purpose, now, Roots and originally had a generic plant growth model that you could parameterize for different crops, and we did parameterize for corn and soybean and some other crops. But we also added, we thought, why not to add the best available crop model that we can put hands on and add to the root zone. We don't have to, we could share from others with their permission, of course. So we had crop-specific plant growth modules from D-cell family of models that we brought into root zone working with Garrett Hogenboom. Is Garrett here? Oh, yes. And he helped us a lot. And we also wanted to add surface energy balance, canopy, soil, surface energy balance routine from the Shaw model that Gerald, our friend Gerald, worked together with us to do this. And I think we are better for it. We are very pleased with their performance. And Levon had a major role to play in these two areas. And it was a great joy for me, believe me, to use my whatever soil physical knowledge I had to synthesis and quantification of transdisciplinary, meaning the boundary of disciplines, soil and plant processes, far, which is required for whole system modeling. Of course, it was a team effort. We worked together, and I value that very much as well. All our very interesting thing was that all our prior soil physics research that I was involved in, we together were involved in, was incorporated to root model. So that was a satisfaction. This model has 7 major scientific components: the processes of water, heat, mass, and energy transport are simulated at a finer scale, sub-hourly scale, while other processes like potential evapotranspiration, management effects on soil and plant processes, plant growth, soil chemistry. We haven't used much of soil chemistry, but we do have the equilibrium soil chemistry if we want to apply the model to salinity conditions. Carbon nitrogen, we have used quite a bit of that, as well as pesticides. Or those. In addition, we have, of course, a user-friendly user interface. Based on this, the distinguishing feature may not be, other models probably have it now, but the distinguishing feature were that this model contains management effects on soil properties and processes at the state-of-the-art knowledge scale that we knew. Macrophore flow of pesticides especially, but nitrogen as well, and other chemicals as well. And even more recently, microbes in hormone transport, which happen more through macrophores. Water table fluctuation and tile flow. I'm sure other models, Hermes recently added that. Chemical transport runoff. Of course, this is what I said, that some of the research we did earlier were incorporated in Roots. But hopefully useful, because several questions were raised about what about runoff from nitrate? I think it was one of the questions this morning. Surface energy balance. I think this was a very good addition that Gerald is still working with us. We work together improving it. He's doing very well. Detailed carbon nitrogen transformation. I think this was an important area that we have extended to greenhouse gas emissions as well now. Originally, it was just the decomposition of crop residues, root residues, and manures and fertilizer transformation. But now we also have greenhouse gas emissions, especially with an option of simulating the dynamics of microbial population. Now you have an option where you can keep the population fixed, or you can change population of different aerobic, anaerobic microbes. Now, we also kind of wanted to simplify. Well, everybody said, well, root zone is the state of the science processes. It requires more parameters, so we need something simple. So as a team, we also developed a simpler farm-level decision support system called GP Farm, still 1D. And that contained both cropping systems and rangeland system to sort of have a quick decision tool for looking at the effects of management on production and resources, soil, water resources. And we also developed a component-based watershed model called AGES, using the object modeling system that we introduced it in our as a part of our effort to get the modularization. Now, for applications of water, we work with a number of you, colleagues, especially experiment. We always work with experimental scientists like David Nielsen, presented it in U.S. and abroad. And abroad, especially China, Portugal, Canada, India, Germany, and Egypt, and some more. And we also work with several federal and industry scientists. Tom Nolan is an example this morning. It was always a lot of fun. It continues to be a lot of fun. I don't know what I'm going to do after it. And a great player for Leon Sasi, who spent a dozen years with us, and me to do this. Now, I want to mention that we are also currently working with other major modeling and experimental groups internationally in applying and improving crop system models as a part of the so-called AgMIP. Crop Water ET team. Bruce is taking lead on this. Ken Booty is involved. We have benefited a great deal from DSAT. Of course, we have components of DSAT in our model and discussions. So I want to acknowledge that we have benefited a great deal from that, as well as crop cysts. Claudia? We have talked about it. We have used certain aspects. For example, we have used your uptake model. We looked at that and see how it compares with our Hema Hanks model that we use. So we learn from that, as well as from Epsom model, because two of our Dr. Ma, as well as Rob Malone, you were there and worked with Epsom for 3 months at a time. So we learned from that as well. And Hermes, more recently, we've been visiting your station and working together with you. And some others, but especially these models. Our guiding principle in applications of model, guiding principle and approach, in application of models to practical problems, is remember that is the motivation. Do something good for people and nature, of course, has been to connect cutting-edge field research. We need good data. There's no question about it. But connect that good data with process-level models of agriculture systems in order to explain, have a better understanding of results and predict results. And, of course, to extend those field research results to long-term weather conditions. The experimental data are mostly for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, sometimes more, but most of the time. So to extend that field research to long-term weather conditions, 20 years, 50 years, even 100 years, depending on the situation of the problem, and to other soil conditions, other climate conditions outside the experimental plots. And then use those extended results to develop some simple decision tools, some guidelines for farmers, ranchers, consultants. That's where people come in. So that's been our philosophy. That's been our approach. And here are some quick examples, and some of them I'm repeating from what has already been presented. We apply the model to dryland cropping system at Akron, Colorado, in collaboration with David Nielsen, he presented this morning, and his colleagues. The model provided a pretty good synthesis of biomass and yield data in four different dryland crop rotations over 17 years of data for different dryland crops, including wheat, corn, millets. And based on that experience, based on the confidence we developed from synthesis, we developed a tool for summer crop selection in rotation with, that could be planted in rotation with wheat, winter wheat crop, based on soil moisture at planting time. Otherwise, if you have a wheat-corn fallow rotation, is corn the best crop to plant in the summer? Or is it better to have a millet or some other, or canola, some other crop? And we develop a tool that will guide us which crop to select based on soil moisture at planting time. We also, I think David showed this morning, we develop a tool, which he has actually a better picture of the tool itself, which can tell the what is the potential for growing canola oilseed crop in different parts of the central Great Plains? And of course, we looked at effect of projected climate change on different dryland crops in four different rotations. We applied the model to irrigated crop systems at Greeley, Colorado, which is near Fort Collins, working with Tom Trout and his colleagues. Again, I'm emphasizing we're working with people who have good data and making them part of the team rather than just taking the data and running. I think that's a very important factor. We developed, with the help of 4-year data, we developed a long-term, in this case 20 years average, crop water production functions for different crops, corn, wheat, beans. We didn't work at sunflower, but I think we did some work on that. Sausage, did we do sunflower? We didn't do sunflower. And this crop water production function, which is really a relationship between grain yield and water applied, RET could be a function of ET. was incorporated into what we have called the Colorado Water Optimizer that our unit developed. And that was for guiding limited irrigation. Now, what is the economics of limited irrigation based on crop, selecting the right crop to irrigate and how much irrigation to apply? Full irrigation, 50% to meet 50% ET requirements, or 75%, and what is the economics of it to do that? A very interesting thing we found, sometimes you know the model application also results to better understanding of processes and some new ideas that come into picture. One thing that we were found and was surprising, how nitrogen availability level can influence the shape of the production function. Different seeds, you can see production function shape at different levels of nitrogen that's applied to the soil. Of course, this is simulation results, but it's pretty potential. And many times in practical situation, when you're applying different levels of irrigation, nitrogen is neglected. We don't even talk about it. We put one level. But it influences the production function. Of course, we also looked at effect of climate change on irrigated crops. Earlier I showed you for dryland crops. And we found that corn, especially, is higher temperature is going to influence corn, reduce corn yield in the future. But we also showed that partially irrigated corn, like 75% ET or 50% ET, relative effect of climate change is less on partially irrigated corn than the fully irrigated corn. And of course, the yield is always lower because of the water stress in a partially irrigated corn. In case of wheat, we found interestingly that this was a visiting scientist from Egypt that showed that the climate change actually could, in the central Great Plains, could increase wheat, winter wheat yield under irrigated conditions, but not in a dry land condition. So interesting thing that this is a potential as a good adaptation crop for climate change. A model has been used for water and nitrogen management in the Midwest by Rob Malone and his colleagues, Dan James and others, as well as by Iowa State University, Dr. Ramesh Kamal, his students and postdoc, over a number of years when he was active, when he's still active probably. And of course in China, especially by several scientists, but especially by Dr. Fang, Dr. Yu and Hu, that we work very closely with, who have visited our unit several times, and we have visited theirs. And just as a quick example, for Midwest, the data, the model that we use provide a good synthesis of data for corn and soybean yield on the top graph, as well as the tile flow, the amount of tile flow, as well as nitrate levels in tile flow, the concentration or total nitrate leaching in tile flow. So just remember, this is a water quality model to begin with. So we also extended to the yield and production. Now, once we had confidence in the model, when Rob and colleagues developed these decision tools, which he showed in his presentation to some degree, to how to reduce nitrate level in tile flow by using controlled drainage and cover crops in different parts of Midwest. So this is again helping people. I think that is very encouraging to see that Rob, you and Dan and others are doing. In China, the model has been used for 15 to 20 different locations. And again, just to analyze the existing data and exploring what can be done for more efficient water and nitrogen management. As an example, the model used the growth stage-based irrigation for wheat and corn and nitrogen application for optimizing, making the best use of limited water here in these crops. Otherwise, depending on how much water available, you have one irrigation or two or three different at growth stages. What all of us together, and I would say we have learned a lot from other models as well. That's why I'm saying all of us together. We and experimental scientists working together, and other models and experimental scientists working together, including DSAT, COFSIS, and APSIM, the Harmonic model. Together, up till now, we have shown that integration of system models with field research has the potential to significantly enhance the efficiency of agriculture research and technology transfer. Important. Discover new science. You can also discover new science through better understanding of process and interactions. I hope you agree with me. And in the process, raise agriculture science and technology to a higher level. And it's a continuing process, of course. Of course, there are areas of further research and development needed, as we learned from the past. Root growth and water, in my humble judgment, our humble judgment, still needs a little further work here. I tried, in the last 6 months, I tried different root distribution and data on a lysimeter from bushland. Believe me, that makes a difference. We need a better characterization of root distribution and growth there. Nitrogen uptake, is it passive or active? So how much passive, how much active? Is it mass flow and diffusion approach? What is the best? I think it still needs some further work. Whether it's our model or DSAT model, we use both. Water stress affect at different growth stages. Of course, we have functions for water stress effects on plant growth in the models, basically independent of growth stage, sometimes some effect of growth stage as well. For example, leaf area index in early stages, you have a different stress effect on leaf growth than on photosynthesis. But it still needs to look at how these stress effects change at different growth stages. Soil and plant responses to extreme precip and temperature condition. Now, this is coming out as a result of global climate change prediction, where we have more extreme heat, temperature, and more precip events, we have fewer, heavier storms. How do they affect that? And we had a very good symposium on Monday on this topic. Of course, we need to learn more about that. And of course, how to obtain effective average, effective. You should have a highly variable field, and you're going to simulate it with one D model for the field. You need effective average soil and crop parameters for a spatial variable field, and that requires further work. And hopefully there will be a symposium on this next year, because Dr. Olaf Wendrith will be part of this community on model application field research next year, if I understand correctly. And this is not a complete list. It's just examples of that come to our attention, particularly in our recent work the last few years. Now, the Tri-Society's new series on advancing in ag system modeling serves as a good forum. It was really designed and started to be a forum for encouraging further transdisciplinary research, synthesis, modeling, and application. And sharing that throughout the globe, throughout the world. So I think this effort needs to continue. In retirement, I hope to be part of that, but I think I need help here. I need to work together with several of you to continue this where further research, transdisciplinary research is needed, and we need to improve models and able to share across experimentals and modelers. In conclusion, what we could accomplish thus far certainly wouldn't have been possible without us working together. many of you, and I thank you for that. Among modelers and modelers and later parts people, among the modelers, we are very grateful that we can work together and advance this knowledge of models, the quality of models and its applications, and especially to help field research and technology transfer. And I'm confident that you will take this to the next trial level. And thank you all very much for that.
You mind joining us? I don't know where he is.
There he is. Okay. Now I have to say one little thing. I want to convey greetings from a very good friend of this community, Don Nielsen and his wife, who would love to be here today celebrating the accomplishments of all of you and of Lars with us, but they can't. So I want to convey their best wishes. Spiritually, they are here. I also want to thank V1 for putting this together in the name of all of us as a memory for Lars. Before I hand this over, I want to remind you, Sasi said it, Lars gives us the best example. When I met him, he had big glasses. He doesn't need them now. He was never slowed down by the big glasses. Instead, he turned it around and put light in all of other faces. So, Lee Wong put this together.
Pat did it.
Pat and Lee Wong did it. So, this is memorable moments of Dr. Lars R. Ahuja.
Thank you,
Lars.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You're more than welcome. Well, you know, he went over time, but I think he earned that time. So I was not about to tell him, give him the 2-minute warning. Lars, thank you so much. You've influenced us, and we cannot say the type of person you are. You are a role model for a lot of us, and you've done it with style, elegance, and humility. That's something that we will always remember from you. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. We just have a few minutes before, 3 minutes before we start our next session. So please hang around, visit with Lodge, and we'll see you in 3 minutes. Thank you very much.